Welcome, everyone. I am Ivy Rivera. I'm a psychic medium, a Taíno Arawak, and this is the third episode of my late night circus show, where I am discussing viral, trending, current events, news stories, things that are going on throughout the world that are really important from my perspective as a psychic medium, because I see with the bigger astrological, spiritual, energetic story is not just now, but what it will mean in the future. Now, I'm not giving predictions, so I'm not going to say on this particular topic, this is what I see happening. I'm just saying this is why I believe it's happening, and it's part of this larger story. So you guys are encouraged to post your questions and comments. Jill, my beautiful producer, will be getting to those. As I'm speaking, she'll be popping them up on the screen if they fit in with what I'm talking about. If they don't, she'll save it till the end and we'll get to it then. I do want to talk real quick, though, about a problem I'm having with this show, which is disappointing. I kind of knew it was going to happen. Honestly, I thought it would be worse. But when I started doing this show, again, this is the third episode tonight, I was excited because the way I see the world is through the lens of almost an audience member looking at a dark circus. It is nothing but nonsensical activity and behavior. It is often very, very paranormal and low level and creepy. But it's also a fascinating world that we live in. And I see everything as being interconnected. I see the whole world as being almost like a big spider web. And I've always been really good at connecting the dots on what's actually happening karmically, or what the bigger story is, or how this is just a big performance, just a big circus I'm watching. And there's more to this story than what meets the eye. And you know, a lot of you have said, I see the world exactly the same way. And, you know, I was excited to do this show, and you guys have been amazing in giving positive responses and even sharing the videos. But this has killed every single one of my social media accounts since I started doing it. I'm sure you're not surprised to hear that. A lot of people have messaged me and said, I can't believe you've made it this far. Well, I kind of wasn't. I was sort of faking it. From TikTok is the worst. Okay. TikTok, for those of you who've been watching Late Night Circus, you'll watch them cut me off. But now they've started to do it with kind of all of my lives. Okay. And this isn't the only live show I do. I have church services. You know, I have paid where I give readings. I have the Derived Show. I have a bunch of shows. They're now cutting me off on a regular basis on TikTok. So TikTok is the worst. They do not want us to speak. So as much freedom as you may think you have on TikTok, they are the darkest culprits of all of this. And I will say this has been almost like a science project where I've been paying attention to which platform is going to be the most restrictive on what I speak on. I will also say I haven't been muddling my words. When a lot of people have to, I tried a little bit in episode one, but I didn't continue. A lot of people who speak on these types of topics, ranging from human rights to murders to, you know, big news stories to politics, a lot of people will muddle their speech. They will pick key words to hide what they're actually saying. I stopped doing that early on. I decided I'm just going to speak. And if you're going to silence me, go ahead and silence me, because I doubt it's helping anyways. The algorithm knows when you're speaking on something they don't want you to speak on. It's smarter than that. So I spoke freely. And unfortunately, every single one of my accounts, all four of my Facebook pages and my personal page, my Instagram account, TikTok especially, and unfortunately my YouTube account, which I really need to protect at all costs, has taken a total nosedive. If they are not reversing, then we're looking at a stagnancy. So what am I going to do about it? Well, if you guys want to continue to see the show go on, I really need you to comment about it, okay? I need you to say something this week. And if you're watching it once it's published, which should take until about tomorrow, please make a comment, because what I may be willing to do is switch formats over to something like a podcast. And also, if you have any suggestions on how I can transfer this show into a better format, you know, where I'm not going to be as restricted. Maybe podcasts are the solution, but I don't know. I haven't done podcasting in about 8 years, probably. So let me know. Okay. Everything I do publish goes to podcasting. Don't get me wrong. You know, you can download us from any podcast at Ask Ivy, but I don't do lives on podcasts. Okay. So let me know. Okay. What you guys think about it. Anyways, this may be the last one I do. Debatable. But I can't sacrifice all the hard work I've been putting in for like 13 years. Okay. Just for one show. Even though I would like to. So, let's take a look at the topics for tonight. So welcome everybody. Again, please give this video a thumbs up, drop a comment, subscribe. If you're here on YouTube at Ask Ivy, you can hit the join button to see the membership options. I do ask that everybody transfer over here to YouTube at Ask Ivy. This week we are talking about, the first topic is Kellogg's. Okay. Kellogg's corruption. Tony the Tiger's dead. God rest his little blessed heart. So the CEO of Kellogg's, what a giving soul he is, Gary Pilnick, came out recently and thought he would do this big sweeping advertisement that he undoubtedly thought was really going to work in his favor and boost sales for Kellogg's. He thought that he would just come speak to the American public, the families, and all of us suffering out here financially under the boot of inflation and whatnot. And he was going to say, I really feel for you guys, this billionaire, right? Being as broke as you are. And I really am encouraging you guys, since you can't afford food, because we now know that well over, I think the last research, last stat I saw was 47% of Americans. And this was, I want to say about 6 months ago, they were skipping 1 to 2 meals a day to be able to pay their mortgages, their rent, or hold on to their vehicles. That's scary. So he said that because we can no longer afford dinner or to like feed our children and this and that, that we should just start having cereal for dinner. Now, he is one of the culprits that have been involved in shrinkflation. Shrinkflation meaning that if you are purchasing something, and inflation meaning he raised the cost on cereal in the last couple years. And so costs skyrocketed. And he was one of the people who was saying like, well, production costs are up. That's why. And we found out in recent months, everyone was lying about that. Production costs are not up. This was a choice. So they were creating the inflation themselves, all these big name companies, and they were all exposed. Well, he was one of them. So what they did was they raised the cost of the cereal to an all-time high, and he shrank the amount that you're getting. So shrinkflation is when, say, for example, you used to buy a candy bar and it would be like filled. Now there's like a lot of squishy area in the candy bar. The candy bar just weighs a little bit less. It's costing more. But, you know, you buy a bag of chips and it's like, wait, what happened? Like, why is there so much air in this? You know, you can't really see from the outside, but things are shrinking, the amount shrinking. So he is rolling in the dough and had the audacity to come out and think he was going to do some big promo that people were just going to be like, our hero. And he didn't offer like a sale or a reduction on cost for Kellogg's. He was just like, I suggest you eat cereal since you can't afford to feed your families anymore or yourself. Okay. Because even single people are part of that 47% that has been skipping 1 to 2 meals a day for the last like 6 months, so they can keep their vehicles and whatnot. We're at an all-time high for repos and foreclosures and homelessness. How dare he? So It was immediately spotted, right? Immediately. And people were on him like flies on Ish. I mean, they just destroyed him. Kellogg's has gone downhill in the last couple weeks. If you follow this story, if you don't go look it up, you should see that they can't even give this stuff away. All right. They have it down to like dollars, like $3 a box, $4 a box. No one will touch it. The tide has turned and people are done. Time to eat the rich. You know, it is really showing in the way that God bless everyone, because even in knowing that we're hungry, we are hungry. We do need those boxes of cereal that are so discounted on clearance, on sale, across the board. You look at the shelves, anything Kellogg's has been on sale, right? They can't get rid of it, but we are hungry. Our kids are hungry and no one will touch it, okay? We are finding alternatives like no-name brands, which most of us have been doing anyways, but I love that this blew up in his face, this clown. And I love that we scared the rest of them into a place of submission. And we're going to hear more about this story in the future. So I love about this story also. Thank you on TikTok for the hearts. Keep tapping that screen and do share. I love that artists came out and said, this story brought me back to life, because there were a ton of cartoonists who said, I haven't drawn anything in years. I don't know where my inspiration went, but it definitely plummeted. And I was worried it would never come back. But now they are like cutting off the heads of that cockatoo, and they're like hanging Tony the Tiger, and they're like, I mean, it is so fabulous. You have to look at the artwork that came out of this story. It's on t-shirts and hats, and like, it's everywhere. So this is a beautiful thing. Everybody came together on this, and I do think that, you know, this may be due to, let's look at the larger spiritual, energetic, astrological scale here. I think it may be due to Saturn and Pisces. And this runs, you know, till I believe 2026. So Saturn in Pisces is new in the last couple years, and it has to do with persistent enemies coming out to essentially like trick us, fool us, con us. And it turns into a war, you know, for those of us that are willing to stand up and fight against it. So I also think that it taught us on a larger spiritual scale how exactly we're going to flip this story around, where the head becomes the tail and the tail becomes the head, with the rich being forced into submission and the poor, which is now basically everyone who isn't part, you know, of that like 1% at the top, you know, we're going to take over by essentially canceling them out on a repeat basis. All right. So this story, I think, could have gotten a lot more coverage, you know, in the mainstream news. I'm not shocked that it didn't, but it certainly got a lot on smaller like media platforms, and we'll continue to do so. Everyone's eyes are on this. All right, let's move on to another one. TLC's catastrophe, sister wives' tragic loss. Let me know in the comments. Does anyone watch this show? I actually don't. But I follow a bunch of people who concentrate on Christian fundamentalism, because I've always been obsessed with it. Started as a kid with the Amish, and then it kind of moved on to other cults. And like the LDS church, which is often hiding fundamentalism in, you know, things like, you know, the, trying to think of Jeff, whatever his name, who's like in jail now. So there are a lot of different branches, right, of Christian fundamentalism, but there's a couple different channels. You've got Without a Crystal Ball. She covers a lot of it. And then you have Fundy Fridays. She's hilarious. She covers a ton of this. Anyhow, you don't have to actually watch the show. And I would recommend that you do not, because we don't want to be giving any more money to TLC by supporting the actual show. But you can watch these, you know, journalists who break it down, what's happening with it and what it means also if you're an American for American politics, because we are now being taken over by Christian nationalists. And we see that in so many of the changing laws from Roe v. Wade being overturned. I'll be bringing up some of that later on today. So TLC's latest catastrophe, and this just absolutely breaks my heart. For those of you who have even seen a couple episodes of Sister Wives, you know, Sister Wives is a show about polygamy. If you want to learn more about polygamy, you could also go to HBO and watch an old show that was kind of, you know, it wasn't a huge hit, but it was really well done, I thought, called Big Love. And it's very thorough to understand where these people are coming from if you watch that. Now, Sister Wives had many children involved in the show, none of whom were paid, because Cody Brown, the dad, hoards all the money. Every episode of Sister Wives is going right into Cody Brown's bank account. Cody Brown, who doesn't have to work because, like most patriarchs in fundamentalism, they have multiple wives who pull in all the cash. So he just sort of sits there and does nothing. So these kids were Cody Brown, the dad, and Janelle, one of the wives. The child who suffered, I believe, because of the show, his name was Garrison Brown. He was also known as Robert. And Cody has three other had. They all have basically left him and divorced him since then, except for one. But he had three other wives. Now, Garrison was one of the children on this show who, I believe the show has been going something like 18 seasons. We watched him grow up. And again, he was never paid. And he was one of the kids who were painted in a very negative light by his father, as being difficult and selfish. And his father said that he, just wanted to like get his pencil wet. He would talk about him in just horrible derogatory terms, just on the show. I mean, in filming, he said he didn't want him in his house anymore. He referred to him as being a jerk. He kicked him out of the house. You know, he just treated him terribly. And for any of you who follow Christian fundamentalism, you know, or a lot of these cults, it's not at all uncommon. They're called the Lost Boys. It's not uncommon to see in any of these denominations that when these boys turn anywhere from like 11, 12 to usually like by 14, 15, they are thrown out of the house. The men are so sick and twisted in their corrupt minds. They see them as competition for the daughters who they may also be interested in marrying themselves. There's a lot of incest involved and purity culture. Like they want to keep the bloodlines pure, you know, and they're racist. They also want to, it's part of white supremacy culture. So, they see the males as competition. So Garrison was just treated horribly, horribly. And he was, I think, watching some of the replays on recent episodes in previous years that came to light, where the dad was talking so poorly in these private interviews with TLC about the son, about himself. And I think it was too much. I think it was too much for him to watch. He had developed a drinking problem. For those of you who know about, again, Christian fundamentalism, for example, you know, they don't approve of alcohol consumption. Therefore, they're not prepared if one of them is drinking. They're just typically kicked out and shunned from the rest of the community, okay, which will lead to a ton of mental health issues and a full-on emotional crises, of course. Not to mention financial homelessness, okay, on and on and on. But to add fuel to the flame, they're never allowed to go for any kind of therapy. So they also reject mental health counseling. Well, you put these problems together and you, you know, add it to the extreme rejection that this child went through from his father. His mother and father essentially broke up because Janelle, his mom, stuck up for him and said, listen, Cody, if it's between you and these kids, I'm picking the kids. So get the heck out of here. And she left him, essentially. So thank God for that. Okay, because she'd be taking that to the grave with her guilt. However, Garrison, who was actually with the military, he was supporting these different animal shelters. He had adopted three cats, you know, one just days before this tragedy where he knew the cat was going to be put down. It was like a 9-year-old cat. He was traveling the world. He was a photographer. Just everyone who speaks about him, you know, says that he was this amazing person. On March 6th, his body was found, a self-inflicted gun wound. And the roommates that he had didn't know he had done it. Apparently, he had done it late at night, and they found him into the early hours of the following day. So Janelle, his mom, had been speaking to him. She did know something was wrong, had sent one of the siblings over to check on him. And unfortunately, it was a sibling who was also horribly badmouthed by Cody, who found him. Okay. And then had to go pick Cody up because Cody can't legally drive. Okay, because he's not like paying his tickets. So should one of his kids end up in trouble, he can't get there legally. And he didn't want to come and be around a bunch of cops. So Cody like hid out from the scene, like couldn't even show up. Yeah. So, you know, the loss here is phenomenal. And what we see in Garrison's last words, because he did leave, I guess you could call it the equivalent of a suicide note, was very revealing about TLC. He left in his final words a text message to the TLC production crew stating that he wished he could hate them, but he can't because he wishes he could go back to those days that were good. So heartbreaking. Now, TLC has a long history. If you've been following what goes on with them, they have a long history of hiring people who are later on criminally charged for child molestation and things like this. Okay, there's a lot of dark history there. But they just don't seem to be ever learning any lessons. They will do anything to get those ratings. And Sister Wives has been a hit show for a really long time. Again, I believe it's like 18 seasons. And so at this point, you know, everyone was thinking, well, they'll probably cancel the show as they should because it continues to do so much damage to this family. Through the divorces and the deterioration of the mental health, many of the family members, especially the children, now the drinking and drug abuse that's coming to light, the suicide rate has now begun. It's like they just keep going on with the show, you know, filming it even. They'll be filming, I believe, the memorial service. And it's like, you know, this is great for ratings. It's disgusting, obviously, but, you know, there are a lot of darker stories here about, I want to say the war for children who deserve compensation for all the performing they do. Now, we saw this years ago, which was also TLC, where it was like John and Kate plus 8. We saw it with 19 Kids and Counting. You know, we've seen it over and over and over again. These kids are not getting paid and they're being conned by their parents because there are no laws set in those states. So hopefully, you know, this will also change those laws because once, you know, a family signs a contract with TLC, they're forced, I think it was, they're forced to film. And the kids are forced to show up often too. So the kids have like no recourse. They can't back out. They don't get paid. It's horribly stressful. Now on John and Kate plus 8, for example, was the husband who had backed out. He still to this day, he broke contract with TLC. He still to this day owes them millions of dollars. So, you know, laws need to change. I think the bigger spiritual future storyline on this will be that energetically, people are going to get more and more turned off, and the viewership will go down. But also, aside from removing that money directly from their hands, I think we also need to be changing these laws state by state, because it's also happening on other social media platforms, like, you know, YouTube, TikTok, where families are using, you know, these influencers are using their kids to make a fortune. So it's going to have to go state by state here in America, because every state in America is like a different country. It's like, you know, chaos. So hopefully, you know, this leads to some change there. I also think that it's very revealing that Puddle Monkey Productions, who actually films for TLC and Figure Eight Films, after Garrison's suicide, they just completely disappeared. Shut down the websites, not saying a word. Everyone wants to just close their eyes, act like it isn't happening. They're just kind of waiting it out. So that is some dirty, ridiculous business. And TLC barely put out a statement. It was something like, oh, supporting the Brown family during their tragic loss. What a shame. What a shame. We also see that in the astrology, the sun is transiting in Pisces, and this started on March 14th. But for those of you who understand a bit about astrology transits, it typically goes at least 2 weeks in both directions. Okay. So 2 weeks before we're feeling it and we're getting the effects at least, and then it'll linger, you know, afterward. And this sun transiting in Pisces is all about compassion, imagination, and sacrifice for the greater good. And while that makes me sick to even say it, I think that Garrison, with his beautiful heart and him being one of the only people who could have possibly made change in this area, it had to be one of those kids possibly, he chose, I feel, to sacrifice himself for this movement. And, you know, hopefully everybody takes it to the next level. I think it's all of us collectively cutting off TLC, for example. Okay. And we see the sun transiting Aries, which doesn't start until April 13th, but I feel that we're already being influenced by that. And any transit going on with Aries is war. It is fighting for your agenda. So we'll be hearing more about this. All right, let's move on to another one. Really sad. Bye Bye Baby, the end of In Vitro. Now, I'm nearly speechless on this one, but it was a ticking time bomb. This has been talked about for a long time in politics here in the U.S. As soon as Roe v. Wade was overturned, it was like, okay, there goes LGBTQIA plus, right? There goes birth control. There goes in vitro. Down they go. I mean, we knew the minute that happened that we were going to have so many new battles with this, and that every politician out there was going to be using it to get the votes and not correcting the problem and just leaving us in limbo or in hell. And so that's exactly what we see, especially with it being like an election year coming up. And we have here with in vitro, this was in Alabama. So in Alabama, one of the lab workers was carrying a couple petri dishes. I don't care if there were 80,000 petri dishes. Okay. They were carrying a couple petri dishes. I don't know if he tripped and fell. I don't know what happened, but he dropped them. And the court declared that it would be murder because these embryos are now, according to the court, human lives. They're human lives. So every in vitro, doctor and all of the staff involved in family planning, everyone's just basically shut down entirely in Alabama. And all of these petri dishes are just like sitting there waiting. And people who are in the process of doing in vitro, you know, are now on hold because they don't want to get sued. They don't want to get charged with murder. And it just opens up so many questions about, well, what if it fails? You know, what if I, as a doctor, for example, I go and I do in vitro on a patient, and it fails. Am I a murderer? Okay. But, you know, we don't seem to be asking too many questions. Well, everyone's ready to penalize these moms and these doctors. We don't see too many questions about all the men who just like jerk off wherever they feel like it, or like slut around and don't follow up on where their sperm landed. Or, I mean, we could take it in this direction, and I think we're going to have to. But it's absolutely ridiculous. Okay. So if you want to just get a better understanding and you can't stomach watching the news, watch the Saturday Night Live skit that they did on it. It was like an embryo with like earmuffs on. It was pretty funny. They break it down pretty good on there. And this isn't funny and I shouldn't laugh. I mean, just because I'm not like getting in vitro at the moment, you know, I have a huge amount of compassion for the people who are suffering with this hold up, and it's breaking and, you know, crushing their dreams. But also I'm more concerned about what this means on a larger scale. What's next, you know, because the next thing up on the chop block is contraception. Okay, which I'm not going to get to in this episode, but check it out. See where contraception lies, because that's about to be cut in just a minute here. So absolutely shocking, absolutely ludicrous. Where does it end? And I was going to say that on this, you know, I think that what we're really dealing with here is a lot of exposure. We have some eclipses. Eclipse season has begun. Now, this is going to be going on for a while. And through that, we're going to see exposure. We're going to see relationships, relationship dynamics changing. We're not going to be doing relationships in the same way. And that's not necessarily just romantic relationships. That's relationships to our government. That's relationships to our unborn children. That's relationships, you know, in marriage and parenting and all kinds of things. And so the timing on this is really impeccable. Unbelievable. All right, let's move on. Got to hand it to Alabama. I mean, they're always the front of the circus, right? Let's move on to another one. TikTok's future. Should we care? Everybody on TikTok, good time to share before they real quick shut me off. TikTok's future. You know, anyone who even has a TikTok account, even if you're not an influencer of any kind, really. And probably even outside of that, you've heard that they tried to shut us down again. And this has been going on for years. But at this point, I think people are starting to call their bluff and realize that politicians are just using this to either, you know, look really good or to feed the Christian nationalists, or, you know, everybody has their own agenda. They want those votes one way or another. But even like the Christian fanaticals and stuff are on TikTok. So good luck. I think this is not well planned. I don't think they're being very crafty, and a lot of this is backfiring on them. But I also don't think they care anymore, because again, with end stage capitalism, I mean, this country is going down in flames. There's no recouping it at this point. And, you know, we saw that in recent years, these politicians would stand up and say, I want it shut down. I'm pushing the ban. This isn't safe. Our information, because it's a Chinese owned company, it's called ByteDance. That our information is going to be bought by communist China, and, you know, they're going to come in and take up. American politicians already do that. The American government already does that. There's no damage, I don't believe, that communist China can do to us that America hasn't already done to us and continues to do and plans to do in the future. Okay, that's already happening. No one outside of us is a bigger threat than America itself. So, I mean, we're all just at this point a bunch of refugees getting ready to like pack our bags and go to any country that will take us. So that's sort of their angle again this time. But a few years ago, people were fairly convinced this could be the case, right? The communist China, you know, wants us to have TikTok so they could like take over our country. And Trump was the biggest talker in all of that, right? He really led this ban. Well, now he's reversing his position and came out publicly, because now he's in cahoots with this businessman who has, like, I guess, billions invested in this. And he was at his conference and the two of them are working together. And so now he's saying, no, TikTok's okay. Leave it. Then we saw Biden do the same thing. So Biden stepped up and was like, no, we need a ban. Now, this was like, what, maybe 6 months ago? Maybe this was last year. I don't know. I'm in a warp. But it wasn't that long ago. Biden stepped up and did the same thing. And he was like, ban TikTok. And about 2 months ago, Biden got a TikTok. And he's on there performing and he's trying to get the votes of the younger generations, which is never going to happen because none of them will vote for him, especially due to him siding with Israel and feeding the genocide in Gaza. He was done at that point. Just ridiculous. I mean, they have no ethical code of conduct. They have zero morality or shame. It's unbelievable. Can you imagine being in a leadership role and saying, this is bad, this is so dangerous, and then being like, never mind, I want it, okay, I'm going to have it, forget what I said, or saying both simultaneously, as did this third guy, biggest joker of them all. This clown comes out, Jeff Jackson, Democratic Republican in North Carolina, came out and was doing a slew of videos. I even saw him in my own feed, even though I don't follow him and I won't follow any politician. But, you know, he came out and I was like, this is fairly educational. He was talking about why TikTok isn't dangerous and how this ban would be unconstitutional and why it's going to fail in Congress. And he just broke it down. I was like, that sounds pretty accurate. And I was like, okay, this guy's making some sense. Then he went and voted to ban TikTok the next day. Like, we're not going to find out. Like, we don't know. Okay. Like, we're all just a bunch of numbnuts out here, like having no clue what's going on. So they really think they're going to get away with whatever they want, whatever's going to put money in their pockets, and that they can lie and deceive. And at this point, we're all watching and taking notes on who's doing what and making sure, and this is what we need to continue to do, don't give them any votes. With the TikTok bans, there are a lot of ideas out here floating around that it's because women are coming together and collaborating at warp speed. Okay. Never before have we seen such movements like the 4B movement. And for those of you who missed my video that I put out, I think a week ago here on YouTube at Ask Ivy, watch the 4B movement, women's rights. Okay. But like, we've never seen historically movements like this, radical revolutions taking hold in record time. And, you know, there are a lot of beliefs that they want to shut TikTok down because the younger generations are now voting so far left that the Republicans, the GOP, can't get a foothold. Well, that's your problem. You know what I mean? It's like, that was inevitable. They don't want to go back to the Stone Ages. Like, you guys are setting us back 50, 70 years. You know what I mean? What did you think? I mean, they're young, you know, they want to actually live. And so there are so many ideas too about how this is really all about shutting down Amazon and taking away from Zuckerberg. So they don't want to, you know, Instagram and Facebook, you know, Zuckerberg stuff would be taking over TikTok with this bill because they're trying to sell it off. The government's trying to say, we have to sell it off to an American company. Well, who's waiting in line for that? You know, who's been trying to shut it down all along? Zuckerberg, you know, we see that Amazon, for example, is being outsold by things like TikTok Shop. So there's a lot of threats coming from a lot of different directions. And ultimately, I believe this plays in on a spiritual, astrological, energetic level to Pluto and Aquarius, which is out with the old and in with the new. Pluto and Aquarius hit January 20th. It is the revolution. It is the death of essentially what was a Capricorn phase that went on for well over a decade, that is all about patriarchy. It's all about the rules. Capricorn is all about, this is the way things get done. It's old school, dusty, crusty dinosaur junk that needs to go and die off. And TikTok would represent, you know, I think the new age, the revolution, bringing the people together. On that note, I don't want to overpraise TikTok, because for any of you who do influencing on a spiritual channel like me, LGBTQIA, if you are a minority, if you, whatever, if you speak out on Gaza, you're going to notice how crushed you get. They've been destroying my channel for about 2 years now. They take away active followers. They stifle your comment sections. They throw you in TikTok jail. They say you're breaking community guidelines. I can't believe they haven't shut me down yet tonight. And then they make up a lie about what they did it. They'll say nobody was tuning in when there are a ton of people in the comment. I mean, it's whatever. So should we care? Should we care? I don't know. That's up to you to judge. But quite frankly, I don't give an ish. Okay. I don't care what happens to them. I think it's too late. I think that no matter what happens, we are already on a roll. We are already on fire with the revolution, and we're going to take it one way or another. So something else will pop up if it needs to, and we will quickly get on board with that. Now, I would even encourage something like that because, you know, what if, let's just take Gaza, for example, what if these clowns at TikTok are banning anything on Palestine and the genocide that's going on right there? What does that tell you? They're in bed with Israel anyways. Okay. So what exactly? We need to also slap ourselves on the hand and say, wait a minute. I want to be more careful about what I'm supporting. Okay. So just be careful what side you're fighting on. Here's a good way to say this. I think that when karma is due, we shouldn't try to stop it from happening. Wherever the debt is owed, it needs to be paid. Okay. So I couldn't care less, quite frankly. But I do appreciate it for as far as it got us. All right. So let's move on to another topic here. I want to talk about, I think I'm just about at the end of the road here, so I only have a couple stories left, but I do want to encourage you guys to post your questions, your comments. Jill, my beautiful producer, will be popping them up if they relate to what I'm saying. If not, she's going to be saving them until the end. Donations are appreciated. Drop a comment. It helps me out in the algorithm. And please do follow and subscribe. I would always encourage everyone to switch off of whatever platform you're on over here to my YouTube channel at Ask Ivy. That's my safest bet for the future. We are on another topic, murder mystery and more plane disaster. Boeing strikes again. I'm going to move through these next few stories a little bit faster. I like to talk. I like to vent. All right. So I don't know how. Okay. A lot of people are like, I don't watch the news. I didn't even know this was going on. And I'm like, really? You just lost your bodily autonomy. You didn't know that was going on? I had no clue. I get a lot of that. It drives me nuts. But I think even if you don't watch the news, there is no way you have not heard about this Boeing situation. We're talking in the last week, there were nearly 3 plane crashes alone with Boeing. A wing starting on fire, an engine starting on fire, emergency landings, huge chunks of the plane falling off, right? That's in 1 week. But a few weeks ago, maybe a month ago, I forgot. Anyways, I think it was in episode number 1 of Late Night Circus. I talked about this. And we watched. People recorded it from inside the plane. A door blew off of a Boeing plane. And there was a kid sitting there. He was like 14. Now, if this doesn't sum up how your gut instinct works, how spirit has got your back, how your third eye and your clairvoyant ability is with you at all times, okay? This kid's not sitting with a head wrap and a crystal ball flipping cards, but he said something in his gut told him, don't sit in the seat right by the door. Don't sit there. Now, he had the whole row to himself. He could have sprawled out. He could have done a lot of things. He followed his gut and he stayed all the way on the edge. Thank God. Because the whole freaking door blows off this plane. It tore his shirt off. He had like red marks and bruises for weeks, but he didn't die. He crawled over to some other seats and got out of the way. Well, everyone filmed this madness. Everyone, of course, thought they were going to die and they're screaming. It's horrible, horrible. And everyone lives, okay? So now Boeing is dealing with a situation where they're under not all kinds of lawsuits and possibly, you know, obviously civil, but like possibly criminal, and they're being investigated and this and that, because once they looked into how something like this happened. They found one thing after another mishap after another. While the government is simultaneously trying to loosen laws so that they can get more money out of all of us who fly and like not have to actually keep up with standard basic codes for security, you know, so our politicians are in there trying to finagle that because they have private jets and private planes, mind you. So Boeing has a whistleblower who comes out and just admits to everything that was going on, and he exposes them. And there's a trial essentially coming up, is my understanding of this. And his name is John Barnett. He is 62 years old. He just turned up dead on March 9th. Supposedly from a self-inflicted gunshot wound. Okay. And CNN said that he was in the midst of a deposition in his whistleblower retaliation case, which was finally rearing its end. So he was about to take the stand and he's suddenly dead. Also, the video of a bunch of videos, from my understanding, but the video of like the door blowing off and then some of the with the kids sitting there and then some of the security measures that were taken afterward, all of that stuff disappeared. So Boeing is saying, we don't know where it went. It just disappeared. They erased it. They got rid of all the video coverage. All right. So I have been saying for years, I can't even talk about it without getting creeped out. I am terrified of flying. I remember flying for the first time. I was probably like maybe 13 years old. I remember writing like a poem, a flash forward of what I had of a plane crash that could potentially happen. And ever since then, I was like, this is unsafe and this is going to continuously get worse. I have been paranoid about getting on planes for years, but I will do it when I absolutely have to. And I hadn't flown since before COVID. And I was recently talking about this publicly where I just went on, I think that was episode one of Late Night Circus, where I just went on a few weeks ago to go to California. And it was one of the worst experiences I've ever had in my life. Okay. So I think that we all just need to pull our money back. What are we going to do? Well, we need to push more for bullet trains. We need to push more for the infrastructure to be repaired on current train systems. We need to push more for, you know, green travel. And we have to find alternative routes to this. And as often as you possibly can, just don't give them any of your money. I know it's hard, but we need to create alternative travel systems worldwide, because this is only going to get worse. And I don't think it's just Boeing. This is just Boeing is just the beginning of this story. I don't know that things will be uncovered as far as you know, this man's death, but it certainly opened up Pandora's box to a lot of questions, and people are not going to lay off this one easily, and nor should we. I think this has a lot to do astrologically with some of the Aries transit. We see the sun transiting Aries. This starts April 13th, but again, I think that we're already seeing it. We're already feeling it. You know, Aries is that fire. Aries is that dynamic energy. It's this explosive sort of, you know, warlike potential. And it can also be a lot of masculine energy, you know, and this is a very masculine owned business and, you know, field. So I just think there's a lot that's going to come from that as we get closer and closer and closer to the Aries transit. But I also think it has a lot to do with the eclipse season that we're now entering into, where, again, I said this earlier, secrets are being revealed. So we're talking about now, okay, what's going to happen. And again, it's not just secrets being revealed, but it's relationship dynamics changing forever. And like, it's our relationship to travel. We're not guaranteed to get to take our bags on with us. You know, we're not guaranteed, you know, to even get to where we're going alive. I mean, we couldn't lower the bar. Talk about subpar anymore. We can't just put up with it anymore. So they're literally killing us. And then you've got your politicians going in to fight, you know, for these airline companies to do less and charge more and give me my cut. Give me my piece of the pie. Sick. So watch the politicians who are behind this as well. They have blood on their hands. All right, let's move on to another one. Royal exposure. Where is the princess? For those of you who follow the royal family, you probably know more about this than I do. I don't follow them at all. I don't believe in supporting colonizers. I couldn't care less. However, their time, their reign needs to come to an end. And it is, I think, going to get here pretty abruptly. You know, they are going down in flames, the royal family. And this is just one more thing to kind of put the final, I think, nail in the coffin here. Where is the princess? So the Princess of Wales, Kate Middleton, who is married to Prince William, has gone missing. And there's a lot of chatter about from like Prince William's brother. Is it Prince Henry? Prince Harry, I think. You know, there's a lot of chatter from him about how abusive he is and how he's like racially attacked, you know, his Prince Harry's wife, and the cheating on his wife, Kate, has been like largely exposed. And there are a lot of debates about what's going on right now. There's, I think, the most popular belief, allegedly, right, that he impregnated one of the women he was like known for cheating on, and that Kate left him. That's possible. Absolutely, it's possible. Now, talk about eclipse season, because if we're talking about the eclipse season, you know, again, really beginning here in March, and we're going to have a whole bunch of these. But because it's a lunar eclipse, what we're going to see is exposure of secrets. So the hidden, the dark stuff, especially again in relationships, and it is in Libra. And so, we're not going to be doing relationships the same way. And this may mean very much that women's empowerment is taken to the next level, the revolution. And I always say that with Pluto and Aquarius on January 20th, this part of the revolution, now we are in full force, and it's led by the indigenous and it's led by women. So the new world will be built by women, minorities, LGBTQ. All right. And it's out with the old. So this may do it. Because she could step up and set an example. A lot of people think she's murdered and they're hiding the body and things like this. Okay. Or that she committed suicide and that people don't want to say anything. And they mostly think she's been offed. Debatable, but you know, there seems to be a higher likelihood here. And again, this isn't a prediction show. I'm not doing that, but I have my ideas. And I think that her coming out and saying, "I'm done with you," is going to set quite a tone for the new world on what women should and should not be tolerating. And one way, shape, or form, I do think that's involved in whatever is happening. I'll leave it at that. Now, we also see that this eclipse is trining Pluto. So an eclipse like this in Libra, trining Pluto, this is going to lead to potentially some very powerful moves. So it's kind of like, I think of the circus that is the world being almost like a game of chess, right? And it's like, are you going to be sort of a pawn in this game? Are you going to outsmart the opponent? What is your ultimate goal? How do you want to use this? And TikTok cuts me off. It's always TikTok. I have no freedom of speech on TikTok. Neither do you. You think you do and you don't. So don't even worry about them. They got to go. You know, we see that it's an opportunity for powerful moves on an international scale to be moved due to the trine in Pluto. So I think it's very interesting to see where this is going to go. Essentially what tipped everyone off to something really being wrong with her invisibility here is that she was scheduled to be places, and she was scheduled to make appearances, and she was just, you know, not showing up. And then everyone found out she was in the hospital. She claimed to have needed, or they said that she had scheduled a stomach surgery. And it was like, why would you schedule multiple things? Oh, TikTok brought me back. Oh, they bumped me again. Okay. It's fighting. It's fighting for its life. I don't care. I don't care anymore. Anyways, you know, for those of you who are on TikTok, get over to YouTube at Ask Ivy. That's why I announced it in the beginning. Okay. YouTube at Ask Ivy. So she supposedly was scheduling multiple things at once, right? No one's buying that. And then she photoshopped, or somebody photoshopped, like either her head on a body, or they photoshopped her into a picture of like her and her kids, trying to put it out last week and make it look to the public like everything was fine. And they realized it was a fake photo. So like the royal family put that out. They put out a fake photo, and there were like 113 discrepancies where, you know, it was AI, and everyone was like, what is this, a joke? And it was like, no, they're hiding something, obviously. All right. So they're kind of photoshopping her into pictures, trying to make it look like she's still around, and she's not. I mean, it's insane. There were also some sudden deaths, okay, in the circle there with the royal family and people who are potentially involved in all of this. So this is like the third case of somebody potentially being offed in a questionable circumstance in the last couple weeks in major headline news. So we'll see what this is all about in time. And I think regardless, this is the end of an era for sure. The end of the reign. Let's look at the last story. No, actually, there's one more after this on France, but that's really quick. I'm not even speaking on that for very long. That's like one sentence. But last story of tonight. Okay, USA's Handmaid's Tale, no more divorce for women. Who is aware? I would love to see in the comments section. Who is aware that in Missouri, for years, women who were pregnant were not allowed to divorce anymore? Who is aware of that? I was, but I didn't follow the story too closely. I assumed it was something Missouri was dealing with. Apparently not. Apparently it's contagious. It's an epidemic. So now laws have passed to restrict women who are pregnant from getting a divorce from their husbands in Texas. Can always count on them to come through. Arizona and Arkansas. Shocker. This means that a woman's most vulnerable time in her life, as we statistically know, and we've known for years, domestic violence rapidly increases when a woman is pregnant. It increases also in severity, and it is the highest time likelihood in a woman's life for her to be murdered. So it's the highest homicide rate for women is during a pregnancy. Men can do whatever they want now because a woman can't get out of her marriage. Do you love it? All right. So good old Texas, Arizona, Arkansas, and Missouri. We can thank them for that. For those women who are like, really? Wow, I didn't even know. Like, I don't even pay attention to what's going on. You should be. You should be. And you should be participating in making sure this doesn't continue, protecting your sisters. If you don't care about your own well-being, you should be stepping up for a lot of other reasons. Okay, so examine your position in that. You should know that these things are going on and you should be involved. This is all right-wing nonsense. And, you know, we don't have the left really stepping in to protect so that they can use it, you know, also for votes to act like they're going to be our heroes and our protectors in all of this. But we have alternatives in this country to the voting system. We need to look at what that means. And we also need to pack our bags and let the country go down in flames. So I've been saying that for years, right? Once Trump was elected and we knew that this is how the courts were going to be ruling, it was over. I started saying then you better get your second citizenship somewhere else because it's over. So at this point, it really doesn't matter. Okay. A ton. But if you plan to stay here, you should certainly be more careful. And I want to end on this note, on a high note, France. France leads the way. The French Revolution, part two. So France saw America and the women suffering here in this country and said, oh my God, this is worse than we could have like ever even imagined. And we are going to go ahead and lead the way and be the first country in the world to write abortion rights for women into their constitution. And it is done. So I am a quarter French. I think I may be moving there, actually. Should be easy for me. And I think that they're setting a great example for the rest of the world. A lot of people ready to get on board and follow suit with that. I can't believe it took this long. It's kind of shocking to hear. If you think about that, that France is the first country in the world to write the abortion rights into their constitution. It's kind of like, what? I mean, you hear yourself say it out loud. What? How did it take this long? But it is progress. And I believe that astrologically, energetically, spiritually, this is connected to Pluto and Aquarius. Again, because last time we had Pluto and Aquarius, we had the Civil War here in America, and we had the French Revolution going on. And I think this is the French Revolution taking it to the next level because they have a lot of other stuff going on within their country. And so it's almost like the French Revolution part two, but they're leading the way for the rest of the world. So some really, really good karma coming to them because of that. So that's what I have for you guys tonight. And I want to get to any questions or comments. I see a bunch over here. I believe I'm on TikTok. I don't know where I am. What am I looking at? Okay. So Lisa on TikTok says, I have a classmate that lives in Israel and got to hear firsthand what they went through. Okay. Oh, yeah. You know, I think that, I mean, I could talk on this for hours, but it's been really disturbing that the world is not as aware of how Israelis have been treating Palestinians, you know, pushing them like the colonizers, for example, pushing them right out of their lands, just taking their homes. I mean, they have no defense. They're in a prison system there, and it's gone on for far too long. It's theft of land. They're the indigenous. When I say that the new world, the revolution starting January 20th, where it really started to peak, you know, it's going to be led by women and indigenous. Palestinians are the ones we can look at right now. And it's going to come a lot of it through the stories of the Jewish people and Israelis who are saying like, this is how it really was. This is how it really is. And they are speaking up. I mean, their voices aren't maybe as, you know, as loud as they will be in the future, but there's a lot of restriction being put on them right now. And it's a scary time for them to speak up, but yeah, God bless them. They are doing so. There is definitely an uprising going on there, as is in Russia. The Russians standing up against the government during an election period. And so there's a lot happening in the world, and we need to listen to their stories about what's actually happening with the Palestinians. It's best to hear it from the inside, 100%. And we have another question or comment. Lisa Cece is saying, what happened live on TikTok? Well, like I warned you, and I warn you with every live show I do, if I speak on anything, that TikTok doesn't like the truth, they restrict me. So that's why I say to everybody all the time, get over here to YouTube at Ask Ivy. TikTok is the biggest culprit in cutting me off. And so it'll continue to happen. Jill Marie says, history repeating itself with Prince William. He's just like his dad. Yep, 100%. Super gross. All right. Any other questions or comments coming in here? Danny Boy on TikTok. Danny Boy. B-O-I. Danny Boy on TikTok would like to know if you are broadcasting from a church. This is a church. This is where I hold church services. Yeah, it is a church. It's called, we're called Roots Revival Interfaith. And, you know, you can Google us or learn more. We believe in the three truths in the universe. That is intuitive intelligence, astrology, and numerology. And we are a federally recognized religion and church now as of December of 2023. Thank you for that question, Danny Boy. Any others coming in here? Again, I just want to encourage you guys, if you want to see this show continue again, because it's destroying every single platform I have, it's costly to speak on truth. This may be the last episode I run. And I, again, like I said in the beginning of this episode, I do encourage you to please check out my other two episodes. This is the third week. And again, it's wreaking havoc on my accounts. And that means that any shares, any comments are greatly appreciated, but also suggestions about a better maybe way to approach the show, different platform. I'm debating on maybe switching it over to a podcast. I haven't done live podcasts in about 8 years, and I'm thinking about it. So any other platform that you could suggest where I won't be sort of massacred, okay, in the algorithm and shut down, would be greatly appreciated. I will see you guys for Dear Ivy next Wednesday. That's going to be at 8:30 p.m. Eastern, back here on all these platforms. Dear Ivy is a free show that I do based off of, it's like a play on Dear Abby, for those of you that are old enough to know what Dear Abby is. She was an advice columnist back in the day, an infamous, I mean, huge, actually, it still goes on. And she would just take people's problems, they would write into her with their stories of, you know, disaster, chaos, or what do I do, this problem with my neighbor, this problem with my kid, this problem in my marriage, this, you know, this, that, the other. And I give you free advice on how I see things from a spiritual perspective. And we get a lot of really interesting spiritual, paranormal, very curious topics coming up on that show as well. So anything goes, but I will see you guys next Wednesday for Dear Ivy again on all of these platforms at 8:30 p.m. Eastern. In the meantime, thank you so much, Jill, for production. And in case this is the last time I do this show, highly likely, thanks everyone for tuning in. I had a great time with this. Take care.